Firstly, how would you describe the relationship between aging and depression?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting relationship because on one hand, our expectations are that it's kind of a normal thing, just like you've said in your intro, that as people get older, they start to face more of these physical and mental challenges. And in some ways, it's the expectation that mental health will actually decrease for older people. In fact, that's kind of, it's partly true. So in fact, it is still very common for older people to experience anxiety and depression, but perhaps at slightly less rates than in younger populations. But having said that, it is very common for older people to experience symptoms of depression that still cause a lot of distress and still increase that risk for suicide. So our prevalence looks to be about 1 in 10 to 1 in 15 in our older population, which of course is way too many.
So just to expand on that point slightly, would it be fair to say that when perhaps adult children or just younger people in general are seeing symptoms of depression in an elderly individual, they are dismissive of it in some way because they think, well, that's just the way things are. That's just a normal reaction to ageing.
That's exactly right. And I think this is actually our biggest problem for actually helping older people with depression and older people at risk of suicide. There is a lot of research now that tells us that we do dismiss these sorts of symptoms. We sort of have this sense sometimes that it's normal for an older person to feel irritable, to be a bit flat, to be a bit withdrawn. And we particularly normalise it if we think, well, yes, but you know, they're living on their own now, or they've got that illness, that chronic illness, so fair enough that they are reacting like that. But unfortunately, it's not normal actually for older people to be depressed, and not normal for older people who have chronic illnesses or who are alone to be depressed. So when we see these symptoms, we actually need to act, because it's that lack of action that actually then makes people at risk for suicide.
And in terms of the prevalence of suicide or indeed suicidal thoughts, you mentioned sort of 1 in 10 elderly looking at depression, experiencing symptoms of depression. How prevalent is them unfortunately taking that step into suicidal thoughts?
Well, in fact, the rates of suicide are very high, particularly for the older men aged over 85. So they are actually one of our highest risk groups in terms of suicide rates. So they're really the group we have to look out for. They're the ones that we need to really ask, check in more often and really ask how they're going, particularly if they've got signs that they might be depressed or, as you mentioned, signs of kind of chronic illness or physical disability, because it's those things that seem to really trigger these older men to take their lives.
But again, I mean, the suicide of a loved one is not an easy topic to talk about. Indeed, you know, depression, spotting depression in a loved one is not an easy one to talk about. Again, when we see examples of this cropping up, do people sort of move it to the side and say, well, look, let's not talk about this. Let's not, you know, he's passed now, and we're not sort of going to discuss the way in which he's passed. It's not necessarily as unexpected as when a young person passes from suicide unexpectedly. So we don't talk about this issue because it is moved to the sidelines so often.
Yeah, look, it's true right across the lifespan. We seem to feel a bit uncomfortable talking about this as an issue. But in fact, we know in terms of preventing suicide and improving people's mental health, it's actually the conversations that are really the change point for people. It's about being able to listen and to hear what's going on and to talk through these things and then to help that person get help. And in fact, when we're thinking about older people in particular, the research suggests that older people who end up lonely or who end up socially isolated or not connecting with their community and with friends are actually at particular risk for suicide. And I think this is something that we can all actively do much more as a community, is to make sure that we are helping older people to stay engaged in their community, helping them to stay active socially, because that provides incredible buffer that will help with their depression, but also reduce their risk of suicide. People are less likely to commit suicide if they feel like it's going to impact on other people around them, they're going to be missed, or that they're actually making some kind of contribution in their life.
So in terms of what a community member can do, or indeed an individual who might have an elderly person that they are concerned about, what kind of measures would you suggest they take?
Just a conversation. So some checking in. I've noticed that you haven't been coming out of the house as often lately. How are you? Right. Oh, sometimes, you know, you seem like you're not, involved in those activities you used to do. Is there something I can do to help? How are you feeling? And helping them to take an appointment with a GP, offering to attend with them. If someone's in crisis, you can certainly take them to an emergency department or call 000 for them. Or just trying to find ways to say to them, hey, are there kind of, you know, some social activities you'd like to get involved in? You know, have you thought about joining this particular community group? Can I help get you there? Those sort of things are very simple things, but are actually very powerful things that community can do.
And is there a need for more public messaging on this kind of issue? I mean, we do see at least some messaging saying, look, take young people's depression, anxiety, mental health seriously, have a conversation with them. But do we lack in that for elderly people?
Yes, look, I think we do. And so, in fact, the National Health and Medical Research Council and Beyond Blue have actually recently joined together to co-fund a series of projects where they're trying to get researchers to develop better methods to help identify these people and treat elderly people who are at risk of anxiety, depression and suicide. So there is a lot of effort being made. There are resources being made. So Beyond Blue have some fantastic resources about what to do, even specific with older people. We have some resources on our Centre for Emotional Health website related to how you might identify symptoms of depression and anxiety in older people and what you can do about it. And if need be, we actually have a clinical trial we're running at Macquarie University at the moment where we are treating people with anxiety and depression and suicide risk and seeing if we can actually improve the current best treatments that we have. So we're trying to actually develop a treatment that will be even more effective for this particular population.
Well, Viv, incredibly important work. Thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning to have a bit of a chat.
Great. Thank you very much.